This is the Tribe Tech Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Tech Southwest community on this live Tribe Tech Podcast. At the Tech Southwest Awards, we've got all the tiers, 1, 2 and 3. Welcome to you all. And of course, there will be lots of tears tonight. Hopefully, mostly tears of joy.
And this year, we're expecting another amazing evening. Even though we're in very different circumstances, we're currently backstage at Exeter Science Park, which is our base for the awards this year. We were very kindly given a space to set up shop here. Everyone else is at home watching the awards online on Hopin. Hi guys, thank you for being part of tonight.
Yeah, and we'll have the winners with us backstage after they're announced. But first, thank you to our partners.
Yep, just want to say thank you to our lead partner, BT. It's your support that makes important events like this happen.
And also a big thank you to our supporting partners, Ashfords and Bishop Fleming.
I'm really excited about the People's Choice Award. That's the one that's chosen by everyone in the Tech Southwest community online.
Yeah, last year it was won by Falmouth Launchpad. Who will take the crown this year?
Who knows? I mean, we'll be handed a golden envelope sometime in the podcast and then all will be revealed live right here.
We promise not to milk it. Fabulous to have BBC presenter Nick Baker hosting the awards, and they are being awarded in groups of four, and shortly we'll be talking to each group as they're announced by Nick.
Right, the winners have been announced and are about to join us. I want to say congratulations to them all. It must have been so difficult for the judges. The first round of awards have been sponsored by Digital Skills Partnership, Admiralty and UK Hydrographic Office, Software Solved and Granted Consultancy.
And the winners are Sparks for Best Education Initiative. There was no applause because we're on Zoom. Neighbourly for Sustainable Tech.
Anthony Martin, winner of Teach Tech, and Rovco are the winners of the Innovation Award.
And I can see we have Dan Sandy, the CEO of Sparks, with us. Dan, how are you feeling about winning?
Fantastic. Great. It's such a great lineup there. So it's quite humbling to be in that lineup and be recognised. We've got a great team.
So your business is about motivating students, and your secret, well, it's obviously not a secret because you've just won. So what is key to you for that?
I think we've spent a lot of time figuring out how to make sure we drive engagement and motivation for students while helping the teachers. It's all about making sure that, I know this is a tech award, but it's about making sure the technology does not overwhelm the education. It can't undermine the teachers or overwhelm the teachers. It's got to be supportive. And in that light, I think we've had a fantastic experience and a great relationship with local schools, particularly in Exeter. I've got to give a shout out to the Ted Rag Trust, who've always been there supporting us.
With the lockdown and so many children working from home, I expect your initiative has made a huge difference.
Absolutely. I think we were very upfront right at the outset of the lockdown in supporting the schools, making sure our proposition was available for teachers and schools when the schools were shut down. And we ran live classes as well during the shutdown. I think that we've helped both in the UK and internationally. And at one point we had over 500 schools in 80 countries signing up to use our proposition. So it was really a great reflection of what a local company in Exeter can do at a not only a local, national, but at a global level.
That's amazing. What countries are you actually working in at the moment?
At the moment, we're working in about 20 countries with schools across 20 countries. And across the UK, across England, we have about 50% of all secondary schools using one of our propositions, about 1,800 schools in total.
And is that a recent development because of the situation that we found ourselves in?
No, we've been working on developing the proposition over the last 10 years, and we're headquartered in Exeter. We have a lot of relationships locally, and there's so much skills in the local region. And we've actually leveraged those skills and built up over the last 10 years. And it was set up with a mission and a vision to make a difference. It is about making sure there's a tangible step change difference in providing improvement in life opportunities for our students, both in the UK and internationally. And it all started in Exeter.
And I suppose that because of that situation, it's one of the things that people say where we can find a real benefit to the technology.
Absolutely. I think we've been in a situation where it's been moved from being a nice to have to a must have, And I think that's been critical to support the schools and teachers.
Dan, congrats. Thanks again. Now we have Brian Allen on. He's won Tech Entrepreneur of the Year.
Dan, you're welcome to stay on, of course.
No worries. I'll let you go on. Congratulations to Dan, Brian, I imagine, as well.
Cheers, guys.
And congratulations, Brian. How do you feel?
To be honest, it's a bit odd being in my office and winning an award, half-dressed, wearing my pyjamas and drinking bubbly. But either way, thank you very much.
Half-dressed? You don't look half-dressed. You look quite well-dressed.
Oh, no. I'm completely half-dressed. It's
Oh, I see. Pyjama trousers. Well, you've definitely dressed for the occasion. We've all been there.
I've actually decided to wear my suit trousers as a special treat and to prove that I can still get them on.
Brian, tell us how you stood out for this award.
I don't know. The company is 3 years old. We've got 50 people. We've signed, last year we did £1.2 million worth of business. This year we're doing 6.5. We work in renewables. No, it's just like rapid growth, and I'm hanging on to the coattails of Brodco, trying to help it along as best I can. But no, it's just really nice to win an award.
You're listening to the Tribe Tech Podcast.
And how has this year been for you dealing with the challenges at Rovco that the lockdown might have brought?
To be honest, it's one of the toughest jobs I've ever had in my life. The year itself has been quite challenging, but it's been quite challenging to everybody in all different ways and shapes and sizes, etc., depending on what business you're in. We're just quite lucky that we're in renewables and we're in tech. So for us, we had a really quiet 3 month period, and then it just went absolutely crazy after that, with just contract after contract after contract coming in as soon as the lockdown finished and people were a little bit more certain about what was going on. So it's been tough. It's been really tough at the start of the year. And then equally, the mountain of work that just came on top of us, that was hard for my team. And
so you've had a remarkably quick route to success, it sounds. So how does this set up for you in 2021, when things might have a little bit more normality about them?
2021, we're looking to probably do about double the numbers that we currently did. Like this year, I mean, it's made us more resilient. It's made us able to basically hunker down, like battle through, and our team have really sort of like formed and come together. So in that respect, it's taught us how to fight. And it's taught us how to stay together as a team. And that is invaluable as you go forward into an uncertain environment. So, yeah, it's made us stronger. It's made us like try to solve problems that we've never really come across before. But 2021 is looking good.
Thank you so much, Brian. You can get your full pyjamas on now.
Hi, John Terry and Tim Edwards. Welcome and congratulations. John is from Neurognostics. They won the Health Tech Award. Tim is from Codices, who have got the Best Startup Award. Congratulations again. How are you feeling?
Good, yeah. Amazing. Really, surprised. It's always good to get some awards through and get some recognition for what we're doing as well. It seemed quite stiff, the competition as well, so yeah, quite happy that the judges picked on us. It's good.
Well, it's always stiff competition, Tim. If you get one, you should be proud of yourself, of course. John, how are you feeling?
Oh, amazing, guys. No, it's a bit like Tim says, you know, you come into these, you look at the other companies when you've been shortlisted and you think, wow, these are some serious competition. So it's just amazing that we've come through and won this award. And it's just really exciting, the work we're doing for people with epilepsy. It's just amazing. And to have that recognised is fantastic.
So give everyone who's watching and listening a little snapshot of what you do. And putting modesty aside, Tim Edwards, tell us what you think made you stand out. There's more people coming into the room as well, but ignore my big finger and just keep going.
So that case, what we do is obviously we build interactive shows with brands and influencers. It's been a pretty crazy year. We've just picked up to about 1.3 million monthly players in our shows, and we also have just over 6,000 broadcasters. We've been working with companies like Amazon Prime, we work with Twitch, we work with the Premier League to do lots of cool stuff, and after sort of closing some investment as well, we've grown from 3 to 13 people as well this year, so it's been pretty insane, as well as sort of raising our seed round as well. It's just been really, really quick after the first sort of 2 years of picking things up, getting our sort of seed funding in, and then really just having insane growth sort of over this year has like really fueled everything. And it's been really incredible so far to push things forward. And I think over the next, the next year as well, we've got a lot of really big things planned as well. So it's just been all guns blazing all year. And yeah, more to come, I think, next year as well.
Hi, Bryony and Zoe. Welcome to the session. We will get to you very shortly and your awards as well. Tim, the last time I spoke to you, you had just got off a plane from LA or something after speaking to the guys at Amazon Twitch, and you were the only person working at Codices. Now you've got 30 people working with you. It must feel fantastic.
Yeah, it's definitely a big step up now. And it's definitely after a sort of few months now, really seeing everything sort of paying off, and getting a lot more projects and things underway is good. But yeah, it's been as a startup, obviously this has been a good first year for us. But I think next year and the following years as well, we've got a lot more to come as well. So hopefully from now we're just sort of hoping to accelerate things on from where we are today.
Well, congratulations and well done.
And John, Neurognostics, tell us more. What's made you stand out, do you think?
Well, we're a early stage company. We're developing techniques to improve diagnosis and management of epilepsy. And we use computer algorithms, mathematical models to interrogate data that clinicians collect routinely. And we can use those models to make predictions about whether or not someone has epilepsy and what the appropriate treatment might be. And this is in stark contrast to what happens currently, where the clinical pathway takes often months, years sometimes, to actually confirm a diagnosis of epilepsy. Our technology has the potential to pair that right back to the first time you come to clinic. You collect some routine recordings of the electrical activity of the brain, and our computer algorithms can give information that enables a clinician to make a diagnosis.
Well, it's life-changing work, extraordinary stuff.
Yeah, and one of our big passions is working really closely with people with lived experience of epilepsy to ensure that our technologies are really fit for purpose and are actually advancing their lives. And we've been really fortunate to get further funding recently to begin to develop technology that will enable people at home to help contribute to the management of their condition, sharing data directly with their clinical team to enable better management. So it's really exciting times.
That really is amazing, John. I mean, well done for winning the Health Tech Award, and congratulations again.
Thanks so much, guys.
Bryony Phillips from Rocket Makers. Well done. I'm absolutely not surprised at all that Rocket Makers have won Best Tech Workplace. The last time I spoke to CEO Richard and some staff during lockdown, everyone was singing his praises and about your working practices as well. I mean, it seemed a no-brainer, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's a phenomenal place to work. We're very lucky to have Richard and have the Rocket Makers world to be part of ours, I think. So amazing. It really has been, this year has been a fantastic year in terms of the growth that we've seen. And what's been really lovely is kind of holding on to the culture as part of that. So we've added, I think, 12 new people to our team of 24. So we're up to 36 in the last kind of 10 months or so. And in doing that, we've still sustained all sorts of fun and kind of positive culture things, which is really important at that kind of fast growth stage.
Just another hello to Zoe. We can see you on the screen. We haven't forgotten you. We'll bring you in soon. Thank you for waiting.
Thank you, Zoe Taylor from Sparkle. They won the International Success Award. But before we get to you, Bryony, how do you maintain a good working culture in the current climate when you aren't together and team building exercises aren't the same? How do you make sure everyone feels part of a team?
My favourite thing is the stand-ups that we do. So we do it on a Monday and a Friday, just having half an hour together. But we make it a bit different because we have a rotating host. So each person in the team takes it in turn, and everybody comes up with a creative idea as to how to keep everyone entertained whilst we're doing stand-up. So everything from dressing up as a horse all the way through to one of our designers designed little avatars for each person, and we had to guess who the person was based on the little tiny avatar that someone had designed. So we've had all sorts. This week we even had a guest appearance from Engineering for Dummies, which was hilarious, which is a book, and you had to guess whether or not the guy was reading from the index or from the contents, which may sound ridiculous, but people loved it. So there's lots of like little things like that going on. And the usual kind of Slack. We use the donut app on Slack and things like that to kind of keep people in conversations. And the pets channel is pretty live all the time, keeping one another entertained with the tales of fish and algae and all sorts. Just some positive stuff going on, and lots of big plans for Christmas celebrations too.
Actually, quite a few tips there for all of us, aren't you? Even if you're just working on your own, a few things that you can do to make just day-to-day life a little bit more interesting.
Netflix.
Yes, even that's good because you need those markers, don't you, to remind you what day of the week it is. It adds a little bit of routine to your day, and that's important.
Yeah, exactly. Let's move on now. Guests are piling up. Bryony, thank you so much once again, and congratulations.
Thank you so much. Nice to meet you both.
Likewise.
Thank you. Tweet now. Tech SW Official.
Brian is back in. Brian Allen from Rovco. I thought you were going to get your pyjamas on, Brian, but I can still see your bow tie. What's going on?
Has Rovco won another award? It's Tech Company of the Year with revenues over £5 million. Well done.
I was about to get change into my pyjamas and then a couple more came in and I was literally about to get undressed. But anyway.
Way too much information.
So, Brian, award after award for you there. What's going on? And tell us what's kept you from your wardrobe.
It's really amazing. It's awesome. Thank you, guys. Seriously, thank you. It's really, really good.
Do you think sometimes that when you're working day to day and you're so deep in the detail of making the business work that you can forget that people outside are taking notice of what you're doing and you can forget that people have actually got a bit of an eye on you?
Yes, to be honest, I think that's exactly what goes on. You don't look at your impact locally and you don't think about it. You just keep your head down and you solve all the problems and another problem like comes your way and another sort of company defining moment comes through that might take you out or you manage to like negotiate your way through. It's just battle after battle after battle, and because of that you don't think about what's happening locally and you don't see that people recognize what's going on or not. So yeah, you're exactly right, you don't see that.
And now you know that this isn't the case and we've still got the Pyjamas of the Year award to come, don't forget, so we may be seeing you a bit later.
I'm not sure who I'm competing with, but hopefully these ones aren't too bad. might win.
No, I think you'll probably win.
But fingers crossed.
Thanks so much for bringing on Brian and congratulations again. Okay, who else have we got? Fabulous. It's Margaret Davison from IO Academy and Rosie Bennett from Set Squared. Well done, Rosie, for getting the Tech Leadership Award. Yay! Well,
hi, Rosie. Haven't seen you for ages.
Yeah, hello, Brian. I know, and you, and congratulations. Keep seeing you everywhere now, so it's brilliant. Thank you.
Congratulations to you too. Well done.
Margaret from the IO Academy. I'm so sorry. Please could you tell us what it is you've won? I can't seem to find it.
That's okay. So we won the Commitment to Diversity Award for IO Academy.
Oh, yes. Well done. So my question for you guys was, how do you make sure to be a diverse workplace and encourage diversity, but then also ensure that you recruit the best talent?
I think it's something that you can't ever let drop. You can't ever let it get to the point where you sort of go, oh, we've done a really good job, and so we don't have to think about it anymore. It's something you really have to keep an eye on all the time, because it sort of is built into our world. The world we have at the moment isn't fair. So it's something that you just need to keep thinking about and thinking about the different ways you can do things to try and make it a bit fairer.
Alice, Charlotte, Anthony, just so you know, we can all see you, but I can't let you in because we'll all drop off because of bandwidth. I'm certainly pleased I presented ITV's Telethon in 1982, which prepared me well for just this kind of situation. Rosie, how are you?
Fantastic. And we're here among all of our friends and associates and partners in the region. So it's great because obviously we don't do this alone. And it takes a region to build a startup. It takes a city to support entrepreneurs. So it's for all of us.
Set Squared is a leader for entrepreneurs. How do you maintain that in the current circumstances?
We keep applying for whatever funding pot we can find so that we can get funded to put on new programs, innovate where we can, go into new sectors, support innovation that comes from the universities. All of this takes collaboration, so we have lots of partners, and it takes funding. So, you know, we're aligned with what the government are doing with Innovate UK and what the kind of R&D commitments of the government. I think, you know, as much as possible, we try and work alongside that so that we can bring private investment in alongside public investment and grow companies that are innovative and world-changing.
Alice Whale from Neighbourly, thank you for being on and congratulations on your award, Sustainable Tech, and also Tech Company of the Year with revenues up to £5 million. Neighbourly is a fantastic resource for businesses. I think it's amazing, especially if people want to put their money or time to good causes. It's such a great, brilliant way to use tech. I mean, tell us about your best lockdown project.
Oh, best lockdown. There's been so many like projects in lockdown, particularly on the lead up to Christmas. We've worked with like Penguin So you can buy a book and give a book at the same time to loads of community causes. There's like Lidl who are doing Tackling Hunger. You can go and donate food via scanning leaflets at the till. And then, you know, all the businesses that are giving their surplus food away, like to stop food waste happening, they're giving all of their food away to charities. There's like so many projects, I can't pick one.
Has lockdown changed attitudes, do you think? Have we become more neighbourly?
Yeah, I think that because of lockdown, lots of businesses have suddenly realised that the small kind of community causes at, like, you know, super local level, they are the ones that are basically propping up our communities, people that need us the most. And so, you know, as a business, they have a responsibility to, like, be there for those communities. Otherwise, those communities don't exist, and then therefore their business doesn't exist. So, yeah, I think it has had a positive impact on businesses kind of wanting to help.
I really, really love this initiative.
Yeah, we're going to bring Jake Rigby in from BMT, winner of the Tech Research Award. Congratulations, Jake.
Oh, it feels brilliant. Thank you very much for having me. And yeah, great to see that we've put in over the last few years.
We have four of you in the session with us now, so forgive me if I have to make space and keep making space. I know some of you know each other. I wonder how it's been during the lockdown and whether or not you've been able to keep in touch.
It has been a lot harder, but I have to say I saw Rosie the other day on my way to the supermarket, so we're doing okay.
Depends, I suppose, on what tier one happens to be in.
Well, the Innovation Centre in Bath is now the COVID test centre, so, you know, we can't go in anymore.
Guys, thank you so much for being in the room with us. It's been lovely talking to you all, but now it's time to get the golden envelope. Oh my goodness, it's been handed to me. Shall we read it out together?
Depends how long it is. Oh no, I can't. No, you have to read it, sorry.
Okay, drum roll, please. On the Tribe Tech Podcast, we are proud to announce live the winner of the Tech Southwest People's Choice Awards. The winner is Quantum Technology Enterprise Center, or QTech.
Well done to them. If you are around, please come and talk to us. But in the meantime, we finally got Zoe Taylor back from Sparkle. She's turned it off and on again, and it's working. Zoe, how are you feeling about your International Success Award?
Yeah, no, over the moon. Thank you very much. I mean, we've exported from the moment that we started, and actually we sell to over 180 countries. So to get the recognition for the international coverage that we've got is absolutely fantastic. So actually having been through such a traumatic year, but managed to keep juggling all the countries as they've gone through different phases of difficulties with COVID has just been very rewarding, over the moon.
So how has it been to be part of that global network so early on while the pandemic was spreading? Did it make it seem a little bit more real to you? Could you see what was coming before it came here and started to directly impact on all of us?
Yeah, we were very conscious of what was starting to wave across the world and how it was impacting different countries. But it was one of the most rewarding things was that actually our software was used by the World Health Organization and viewed millions and millions of times, because actually we are perfect for explainer videos for something that's complicated and difficult to digest. So as we were all learning these new words and terms, it was a great way for people to communicate. And it was the only time I think I've ever known where we all had those same messages that we were actually conveying. So actually where normally we're used across all sorts of different topics and subjects, we were used for the same thing across the globe, just sometimes in different languages. But no, it's been quite a year.
Fantastic, Zoe. Thank you. And talking of teaching, continuing that theme, Anthony Martin is on with us now, winner of the Teach Tech Award. Congratulations to you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks very much. I am, yeah, so obviously chuffed. I've done my victory lap of the front room already on this one.
So tell us a little bit more about what you do and why you think you may have caught the eye of the judges this year.
Oh, I guess it's a question of what we don't do, I suppose, in our team, really. It's anything and everything to do with technology. So I work within the IT team, but I bridge the IT and teaching and learning teams at the college. My role is as digital innovations manager, and I'm there really to try and drive technology and to try and get it into kind of every facet of the business in a way that supports the best outcomes for our learners and supports the best outcomes and and ease of transition, I think, for our staff members as well. That's been the key aim behind everything I've tried to do over the last year. I wouldn't say it's necessarily for planning that's got us to this stage. I think we've adapted to it quickly like everybody else. But my God, what a journey it's been this last year, and the kind of scale of things we've had to do has been crazy, I think is the best word I can use.
It's a hugely challenging for the whole education sector. Do you think there's anything else that we can take forward, or is it really for the benefit of young people that they can sort of get back into a more traditional way of teaching?
I think absolutely. There's so much good that has come of it. I think obviously there are lots of terrible things that have happened, but what it's done for digital for us, it's accelerated our programs by, I would say, probably a good 18 months, maybe even more on that. There are lots of great things I think we've seen from the whole embracing digital, which I think are really important. There's lots of changes around kind of environmentalism, for instance, and carbon neutrality have been some great sort of steps in the right direction. But being able to offer your learning remotely, I think, in the teaching side of things is phenomenal. I think there are elements that will go back to normal, I think. There are lots of those parts that I think students in particular do miss the classroom environments. But what it does do is it opens up a whole new world for like remote learning, for students who can't get into college, where, you know, there may be disabilities, there may be public services like bus services and so on that cause some problems. So it's amazing to have had this opportunity to experiment and try that. Unfortunately, to have to experiment in any way like this, but I think the benefits that it has done, I really do hope that lots of it sticks.
Thanks, Anthony.
You're listening to the Tribe Tech Podcast.
I just want to bring in Caitlin Gould now from Tech Girls. They've just won the Software Cornwall Cluster Award, and Charlotte Collier, well done to you guys at the Heart of the Southwest LEP for the Contribution to the Community Award. But Caitlin, did you expect this? Because you guys are brand new.
Yeah, and we didn't know about the award. So Fiona's also one of my co-founders. We were sat there going, did we just win something? I think we won something. So yeah, it took a while to kind of figure out what that was. I had to go back in the program and be like, oh yeah, it says it's nominated. Because we're like, we didn't enter this.
Well, it's well deserved, and you've been making quite a name for yourself in Cornwall and everywhere, of course. Why do you think that is?
I think we tapped into a real need and something that people are really passionate about with Tech Girls. So I think when we started it, we knew that there was an underlying frustration with there not being enough women in tech. We looked in, spoke to a lot of the colleges and higher education, and realized they were also frustrated. And we just kept finding more and more people that also agreed this was a problem. So once we kind of offered to be a solution, people just jumped on it and said, great. So I think a lot of like what Anthony said, we've had a pivot a lot this year. Our original game plan was to do live events. With like 100 girls all touching the same stuff. So that's out. But we just ran this week our first Zoom-based training session and we were able to do 4 schools all spread out across Cornwall from Truro all the way up to Saltash. We had 4 teachers and we had 20 girls, and we did mentoring sessions over 3 days, and it worked. They all learned, they all got new microbits, they all figured out how to use them. So I think, you know, we've had to kind of rethink how we do it, but we've just kept the drive.
I suppose, Caitlin, you're allowing many more people to access events that they may not have been able to attend face to face, and so that's actually been able to accelerate and propel the success of what you've been doing.
Yeah, well, and we're a volunteer organization, so everybody has a day job. So being able to run that event, if we had done it in person at each school, it would have taken us 10 days, and we were able to do it in 6 hours. So I think the lesson for us was that this wasn't just a COVID solution. This is genuinely a way we could scale what we're trying to do after COVID. And we can share, this helped girls, but we could share that with primary school education for everything, you know, and it's so I think that's been really good. But yeah, it's really exciting.
Amazing, Caitlin. I love Tech Girls, and thank you so much for being on with us now. Charlotte Collier, how do you feel?
Yeah, I just kind of want to kind of point out about both Anthony and Caitlin. So both Exeter College, even though, you know, it's a city, and Caitlin, what she's delivering, we're in quite rural settings, all three of us, and actually transport is a huge barrier to people accessing kind of inspiration around tech careers, meeting people that work in digital roles. So I think, you know, both of what they've got going on really speaks to that, and it's kind of having a huge impact. It doesn't matter that we live on the peninsula, you know, we can still have that kind of cutting edge current connection, and give inspiration to kind of the pipeline coming through, because we really need that pipeline to grow, because we've seen that kind of IT and engineering have really kind of held its own during COVID, in terms of there are still jobs out there and they're growing sectors. So we do need that pipeline coming through. So yeah, well done to both Anthony and Caitlin for their projects.
One of the things we always say about the Southwest and what makes it attractive to work and live here is that you can be anywhere and still do a great job. And yet until recently, we still want people to get on a bus or drive to an event. And now everyone is actually genuinely on the same page about whether you live in Penzance or Bath or San Francisco. We can see and prove for the first time that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, we really shouldn't talk about the buses, I don't think, in Cornwall and Devon, because we'd all get quite depressed about how long you have to sit on them to get somewhere.
I think it's what it's done is it's given you options, hasn't it? That's the thing that this whole thing's done, is it's shown that digital is an option for all of this kind of this embracing teaching and working side of things. And we don't have to be entirely office based if we don't want to, and if our teams don't want to do that. So yeah, I think it's really exciting times actually with this potentially, but see what happens as COVID evolves, I guess, from what we're seeing anyway, and how the workplace changes after that.
And a lot of love on the chat for you all there. People are really recognising what you do at the LEP, and that's fantastic. Almost running out of time.
So thank you so
much. Before you kick me out, guys, can I just say a big thank you? So the Digital Skills Partnership is not one person. It represents kind of 25-30 organisations that like Caitlin's organisation, all give their time voluntary, so it's in addition to their day job. And I think this award tonight really reflects 2 years of really solid progress and activity and good that the Digital Skills Partnership has brought to the community. So can I just say a big thank you? Although I'm kind of here, there's lots of people behind the scenes that have made this happen.
Yeah, and I just want to say leaves as well. I do wear another hat as Cornwall and Isles of Scilly Digital Skills Partnership, and we look at what you guys do. So, you know, you guys have been going a little bit longer than us, and we do. We really look at you guys for inspiration and ideas, and it's really cool to see a lot of the stuff that you're doing to give us some ideas of what we can be doing in Cornwall as well. So I think it's really well deserved award.
We need to get together, don't we? We need to bring those two DSPs together and do some idea sharing, definitely.
I love how Tribe Tech brings people together. Thank you all so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Paul Coles, Regional Director for BT and our lead partner. Great to have you on. Now, I don't want to be indiscreet, but I really want to know what Paul's wearing, because his intro video had him in half a tux and half beach wear.
Yeah, I'm not standing up, but in all seriousness, I was going to wear that if it was a physical presentation night, but you know, in the end, I've just had to do it virtually. Why not?
Okay, fine. Just leave it to the imagination.
It's the Toby Parkin Special Award, which we're not doing this year, but maybe next year. Andy Collins at University of Bristol and QTech, how are you doing?
Thank you very much. And on behalf of QTech, thank you everyone for the People's Choice Awards. So Jane, Kim, Alex and I have all been watching live. And thank you very much. I'd like to thank our contributors to the programme, our mentors who have been incredible, and the university as well.
And Andy, quantum's dear to our heart, because my heart, we're doing some work with the National Composite Centre on quantum key distribution and secure networking. So I'll let you into a secret. I did vote for you guys.
Thank you.
So give us a bit more of an insight into your work.
So we are pre-seed incubator accelerator. So we were an EPSERC, Engineering Physical Sciences Research Council project that was funded as part of the UK Quantum Technologies Programme. And our whole goal was to try and boost entrepreneurship for people, mostly academics, who are working with quantum technology, because a lot of them tend to stay in academia, and we want to see these new deep techs go out beyond and make a difference sort of in the real world. So for the last 4 years, we have supported through a programme designed by Jane Garrett, helped along by Kimberly Brook, Neil Carhart as well, Alex Greenwood, in relation with Cranfield in the early days, to build a programme that actually trains academics into becoming entrepreneurs and starting their own companies. And so to date, we've managed to raise 41.6 million, I think, is the figure so far for those companies. And they've created just over 100 jobs so far. So we're super happy about that. It's here in Bristol. We're slowly moving. We're based in the Quantum Technology Innovation Centre. We lived in Unit DX for a bit, and we also lived in the lab. So we've been all over. But basically, yeah, we're just trying to help people with really incredible technologies get the confidence they need and the training they need to go out there and raise capital and funding. And it's worked really well. So we're super happy.
What an amazing and positive initiative in the Southwest. I mean, it's a great way to see us out of the last 12 months.
You're right. And Paul, give us an insight into how the Southwest has dealt with the circumstances thrown at us in the last 12 months as somebody who really does get to work regionally, nationally and internationally.
I think COVID has really shone a light on the massive opportunity that the Southwest has got, because frankly, people have wanted to live here ever since COVID sort of broke. And, you know, I often get asked, how have the networks coped with people working from home and homeschooling? And the reality is it's been pretty straightforward for us. It's not been difficult. In fact, we get more traffic when there's a European football competition on. So coping with homeschooling and people working from home is easy, and people can do that in the Southwest. You know, my own CEO had to isolate and ran BT, a multinational company, from Devon for a few weeks. So it just goes to show that you can do this, right? It's a huge opportunity. It's time to use it as a point of inspiration for our kids to say, you can grow up here, you can be educated here, and you can have brilliant jobs. And there's no doubt about it. If I was to choose two technology areas, and there are more, but if I'm going to choose two, cyber and quantum, I think, are areas where the Southwest can show a demonstrable, lead. And that's potentially across the whole of the Southwest, right? Especially with cyber. Quantum at the moment is kind of west of England, but, you know, quantum is going to expand further. So I think we've just got tons of opportunity, right? Rebalance our economy. It isn't just about tourism, food and agriculture. They're important, but the stuff that's going on in technology means we can have a balanced economy and frankly lead the UK, if not Europe, potentially the world, especially in things like cyber. And the overlap of cyber and quantum is going to get really interesting.
There's some really incredible test beds and really incredible work going on around this area at the moment. And we're really sort of blazing a trail here in Bristol with the kind of technology and how it's integrated. Lots of schemes going on. There's a new sort of the Bristol Futures and the laboratories that are being set up for testing how people integrate with networks and new technologies. Innovation centres. Yeah, just echo Paul there. It's really good. It's a good time to be here.
Yeah, it is. Thank you both so much for being with us. And thank you all for watching and listening.
We've had a lovely evening here at Exeter Science Park in our little bubble. So lovely that we were able to have the event here. And thank you to everyone at Astley Media for making it all so easy and smooth.
And obviously, thank you again to the lead event partner, BT, and the sporting partners, Ashfords and Bishop Fleming. We really appreciate your help in making this happen and, well, supporting the Southwest tech community.
Now, if you're listening after the event, we really appreciate you tuning in and getting in touch. And don't forget to subscribe to the Tribe Tech podcast. Don't have to wait then for the emails and tweets telling you when it's out, because you get to know straight away.
And we hope that you've enjoyed listening as much as we've enjoyed talking to the Tech Southwest digital community. You guys are the best. If you want to be on the podcast, we're on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. Look for Tech Southwest, or you can look for me, for Yalza Khan. We can't wait to speak to you again. Bye. Bye.
A Tech Southwest podcast, Tribe Tech. You can get in touch with us by tweeting Tech SW Official.